Welcome to the Arupe Jesuit Podcast, the podcast where we uncover what makes Arupe Jesuit High School such a special place. I'm Father Louis Hotop.
And I'm Meredith Blattner. Arupe Jesuit is Denver's Cristo Rey High School, where students not only receive a great education, but they are also employed as interns by the school's corporate sponsors. Today, we're going to talk about one of our grad at grad values, work experienced, by talking to Chad Cookingham and one of our sophomores, Hade.
But first, St. Ignatius teaches us to begin with gratitude. What's something you're grateful for, Meredith?
Today, I'm going to take my gratitude moment and give a shout out to the sophomore soccer girls who have been coming to every single preseason session, and they've been absolutely rocking it. So shout out to them, and I'm very grateful for them.
Okay, yeah, not the easiest thing in the world to get people to come and be on time.
It's cold, it's January, start of February, weather's not great, there's snow on the fields. So shout out to those sophomore girls, they know who they are. I'll get them to listen to this podcast, hopefully. But what about you, Louis?
Let's see, we just had our eighth grade interviews. So that was great. It was great to see these nervous eighth graders come in and put forward their best pitch for why they should be coming to Arupe. We got to meet their families. Just so many good interactions with those families and those eighth graders who, some of them spoke about big dreams, you know, like, I want to become a veterinarian, so I hope that in corporate work study I can do that. Or I want to become a doctor, so I want to work in a hospital, something like that. So just great to really interact with them and get to know those big dreams that they have.
And how cool they can bring those big dreams with the dream of actually maybe getting to like work in one of those fields because we have a corporate work study program.
Yeah, I think it's a great, I mean, we're going to be talking about it in this episode, but such a good program for kind of uncovering, okay, I've got this desire that I want to explore a little bit, and maybe that's not what I want to do now after being exposed to it.
But I do have these skills, and maybe I could go in this direction. So,
yeah, it's a great, definitely a great experience, and we've got a great episode here with Mr. Cookingham and with Hade, so we're very grateful that they joined us on this episode.
Chad, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
And Chad, you're our executive director of the Corporate Work Study Program.
It really rolls off the tongue.
It really does. Yeah. I want to see that all written out on a card. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the program and a little bit about your work in it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Work Study Program is, you know, what really drew me to Arupe in the first place. And the idea of us being able to send every one of our students out one day a week to be able to experience work in the corporate world out in the metro area of Denver, I think is really unique. And it's something that, as someone who's been involved in the youth workforce development space for a long time, Arupe has always been kind of at the top of that pile in Denver for who does that well. And so my job really is finding jobs for 415 lovely high school students and then figuring out how the heck we're going to get them to and from work and all of those fun things. And making sure they're trained and ready to go and making sure that our supervisors are ready to be able to have them.
Sounds like a huge undertaking.
Well, very little.
With a lot of variables.
There's no logistics in it at all. It's very easy.
415 kids.
415, yeah.
Even just looking at the bus routes, that's
amazing. We run 10 different bus routes a day all over the metro area. You know, we're all the way out in Broomfield. We're in Thornton, Tech Center, Golden. So we're taking kids all over the place every day. And so trying to figure out how to make that happen, you know, if we've got a bus driver who's out for a day or a flat tire or any of those fun things, trying to figure out how to put that together is always keeps us on our toes, but we've got an unbelievable team that works on that and that supports the logistics of getting all of our students out to the workplace.
Could you speak a little to how students are placed in their positions? Because I imagine students come in wanting different experiences or with different experiences from their K to 8. And so how does that happen?
Yeah, great question. And it's a little bit of science, a little bit of art, a little bit of luck. And so what we really do is we work with students to be able to understand not just their interests, because, you know, kids get asked from the time they're 5 years old what they want to be when they grow up. And frankly, I think it's a totally unfair question to ask them. Part of what we exist for is to be able to help provide those opportunities so that they might be able to answer that question. So we used to ask, what industry areas are you interested in? And we've moved away from that, especially with our younger students, because one, I don't think there's any reason they should know that yet. But two, when we started looking at data, we realized how poor of a data point that actually was. And so an example that I always give is, you know, the number one area of interest for our students is healthcare. And that makes sense, right? They know it exists. And our students want to help people, right? We talk a lot about being men and women for others, and I think our kids really take that to heart. But when we looked at all of our students who selected healthcare, almost 100% of them for their second industry area picked hospitality. And so we started saying, like, well, why is that? They, like I say, like interacting with people, they like helping people. But it didn't quite make sense to us. So we started asking, why was it? And it turns out the reason was they saw the word hospital in it and they thought it was another career in healthcare. Mm. And it's like, if I'm actually placing students with that information, I'm doing nobody any favors. And so we've moved away from that. And especially with our younger students, we ask them things like, are you comfortable working on a computer? Are you comfortable talking on phones? Do you like working by yourself? Do you like working in groups? Do you like doing the same thing every day? Do you like doing different things every day? And then we work with our companies to ask them the same questions. Tell me about the roles that students are going to be filling. And so instead of really focusing on that industry area, we really focus on the actual job that students will be doing and working to be able to place them into areas where they will have success, where they're likely to be able to find that. Now, as they get older and they start to have more of a sense of where it is they want to go, yep, absolutely, we're going to look to say, hey, let's place you into healthcare, let's place you into these other areas. But, you know, the reality is, just because you're working in a hospital doesn't mean that you are doing jobs that are necessarily feel like healthcare, right? The apparatus behind the scenes there is even bigger than, you know, the frontline workers. And so just because they're working at a hospital, if they don't want to be sitting at a desk all day, if I'm putting them into a position at a hospital where they're sitting at a desk all day, it's not going to lead to success. And so we really do still focus on, what are those things that you feel you bring to the table? What are your strengths? And where do you feel comfortable? Now, we want kids to grow. We're going to push them outside of their comfort zone. But if a freshman comes in and says, I'm petrified of talking to people, I'm not going to put them out as a tour guide, you know, in their first year here. We'll work with them and we'll say, how do we help you grow in those areas? But a lot of that focus is on, what are their strengths and where do they feel comfortable?
And I think that points to something, you know, that's so essential to understand here, is that we're talking about kids entering into the workplace. So they're not necessarily going to become surgeons tomorrow. You know, they've got to be doing some of that behind the scenes work. Sometimes it's not glorious work, but it does pay off in the end. And I think, you know, even myself, when I'm working, I'm like, am I doing this right? Am I adulting okay? How is that going for me? And so what are some of those skills that you just tried? What are the basic skills that you try to just imprint on maybe some of our freshmen who are going into the workplace for the first time? What are those essential things that they just need to know in order to succeed there?
That's a great question. And, you know, we spend a lot of time asking students, what do you think that we gave you? What did you have that you were prepared for? And where did we fail you and not prepare you? And then we asked our partners and said, what is it you think students need to bring to the table? And it was interesting how close what both of those groups said was. And most of the time, it had a lot less to do with technical skill. So it wasn't very often that our company said, boy, you know, if those kids could do better pivot tables in Excel, that would really make the difference. Now, every once in a while, we hear something like that, but mostly it's communication. And it is around communication, initiative, and just engagement. And so we worked a lot with our students on being able to help them understand how to be able to engage and communicate in the workforce, right? Because they're 14 years old when they go out to work. And a lot of them are going to, you know, fancy the 32nd floor of an office building downtown. Not a place that they are inherently comfortable. Not a place they should inherently be comfortable. So how do we help get them there? And so we spend a lot of time actually bringing business professionals in over the summer before our freshmen ever go out to work, and doing things like quick conversations, which basically is speed dating with teenagers. Mm-hmm. And so kids get to go around and have conversations with a number of adults. I tell them, suit up, look intimidating as all get up, be kind, but look intimidating, because that's where our kids start to gain that experience that says like, hey, actually, I can talk to, you know, this old dude in a suit. I can make that happen. So one is really working on that. Two, we actually prepare students to be able to answer the questions that they're going to be asked when they show up at work. So we spend a lot of time during our training focusing on day one. How do we make sure that day one goes well? Because if day one goes well, it's a heck of a lot easier for day two, three, 10, 30 to go well. And so we spend hours practicing the answer to the, what seems like the easiest question, but is so hard, which is just tell me about yourself. Mm-hmm. And we talk to students and say, hey, listen, you don't have to, like, you get to pick what you're going to share in that answer, but you got to have an answer. And so we work with them to be able to say, how are you going to present yourself? How do you want to present yourself? And what do you want to talk about? Right? Because we'll say, if you, whatever you're going to start sharing there, that's what people are going to ask you questions about. So if you want to talk about, you love talking about sports, great. Tell them that you're really into sports. You don't really want to talk about school, don't spend a whole lot of time talking about academics. Mm-hmm. And so we work on that. We also work on doing basic research on the company so that when they show up, they have questions that they're prepared to ask about the company. They have some level of insight, because we know that if they show up and they seem, no one expects them to show up and know everything. They're freshmen in high school, but they do expect them to show up wanting to be enthusiastic, open to new experiences, and just seem like they want to be there. And so we work with students on saying, how do you project that? Because sometimes when you're really nervous, it's hard to actually project, I really want to be here. And sometimes nerves can come across as, I'm not sure I really want to be in this space. And so we work a lot on those types of skills. And then we actually spend a lot of time working with our companies and our supervisors on how do you help set up a, how do you help set the experience up so that it is more likely that our students are able to come out of their shell and are able to communicate. The other one we talked about was initiative. And initiative is an interesting one, because you can't teach someone to have initiative, but you can teach them what it sounds like to do it, and what it looks like. And we, again, work with our students on what that looks like, but a huge amount is talking with our partners and being able to say, like, yep, you actually are going to need to list out. I want you to 1, 2, 3, list out what does taking initiative look like. So when they're done with their work, what do they do? If number one doesn't work, so number one is they come to you and you're busy. Cool. What is the next thing they do? What's the third? Because as we know, schools do an amazing job at a lot of things. Initiative is not necessarily what K-12 education rewards, right? There's a lot of you do your work and then you sit and you wait for whatever the next thing is. Not you do your work and then you go ask the teacher what else to do. Or you just like pick it up on your own and said, you know what, I think the next thing I should do here is. And so we do need to work with students on how to be able to do that and what it actually looks like. So that's a lot of where we focus our time. The other thing we do in training that I think was really important to get students ready is this last year we changed. We had previously brought in experts from all over, and the experts are great. And they don't always know how to interact with, frankly, what are basically middle school students, right? Before, this is before freshman year. Ty Smith on our team had a great quote. He said, you know, remember last year these kids brought crayons and Kleenex to school in their backpacks, right? And we realized that, like, they didn't have the ability to make information accessible to our students. And so last year we changed it, and every single thing we did in training was led by a Cristo Rey alumni. Everything, mostly alums of Arupe, but also one alum of Kansas City, Alexis Medina, led by them and supported by rising seniors. And the beauty of that was every person there leading those trainings could look at our kids and say, I sat in that chair, like literally that chair you're sitting in. I was there 7 years ago. I know what it feels like to be scared and to go into this space, right? I can't tell our kids what it's like to be a person of color at 14 years old, walking into a workplace that, frankly, I mean, we're in Denver, is probably mostly white. That's an uncomfortable situation. And I can't tell my kids what that's like. Our alums can absolutely talk to our kids about, I get how you're going to be feeling in this situation. Here are some ways that we can be able to address that. And I think that really made a huge difference in terms of how prepared our students were.
Chad, you just gave us so much insight into how we educate our students, how we prepare them for their corporate work study jobs and being out in the workforce. I have one final question for you as we wrap up here. It's kind of going back to something you said in the middle of our conversation, and it goes, so tell me about yourself.
Oh. Man, I never should have given you that one. That's so good. Yeah, I guess I should have prepped this one ahead of time as well. It's funny you ask, because we were just the other day, one of our kids' babysitters who works with them at school. So I guess I should start. I have two children, 10 and 7 years old. And she was doing a project because she's studying to get her bachelor's degree, and came over to ask us about our family and how we did things. And she spent a lot of time talking about our family values. And so like, this is like very top of mind. So this is what I'm going to talk about. And I think for me, the things, so tell me about me, my biggest values that I believe in are authenticity. I think it's incredibly important that you show up and are genuine in what you do, and integrity. And so those are my values. And then how that plays out is, you know, mostly I spend time with my family. And I spend time trying to authentically engage with 7 and 10 year olds at home, which mostly works. And then, you know, come here and try to spend that time authentically engaging with teenagers, and then out in the workplace and trying to authentically engage with CEOs and business leaders. My wife, Mary, we've been together now for 25 years. We started dating when we were 18 years old in college, met during orientation in college. Have done like pretty much everything together since then. And we spend a lot of time doing all the fun Colorado outdoors things. So skiing, hiking, biking, camping, all that good stuff. I've been in education my whole life. I was a teacher for 8 years, wanted to have a little bit more impact than in the classroom. Got a master's degree in public policy, realized that's way too far removed from the people I want to actually serve. And then I've spent the last dozen years working in and around schools in Denver, and always kind of had my finger in the youth workforce development space. And so Arupe has always been top of mind for me. And to be able to be here for the last 3 years has been an incredible honor.
Wow, that's good. I mean, I would have said, like, my favorite animal is the giraffe.
That's a pretty good answer.
The giraffes are cool.
My favorite colors are black, and I wear this white collar. I cut my hair 2 years ago.
I'm like 6'3".
Me too. Yeah, I'm 6'3" also. I look shorter, but...
Oh, no, that's great. Well, thank you, Chad. Thank you for being yourself. Thank you for bringing that authenticity and integrity into our building, and for the way in which you impart that on our students. I think, I was here previously and now I'm back here, and I have just only seen how corporate work study has grown and matured. And a lot of that credit goes to you and to your team. So very grateful to be working with you, and very grateful that you came to be on the podcast with us.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate it. And wouldn't be authentic and honest if I didn't say that it is, my team is unbelievable. We have the folks that work on the corporate work study team, Jillian, Cecilia, Luis, and VNA, who's been here for 12 amazing years doing incredible work, as well as our CVV, Matthew, are truly spectacular human beings doing incredible work. So thanks for mentioning it.
Hi, Hadi. Thanks for joining the show. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me on here.
Well, Hadi, I mean, Madam President, so good to be sitting with you. You are the president of our robotics club. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I have to admit, robotics is a very fun community for me. I get to enjoy my time with my friends, along with being able to explore like a lot of creative sides about engineering. Recently, we had two competitions, and we were able to, one, learn a lot of things that we wanted to improve for next year, and second, we were able to have a lot of fun moving the robot, playing around with it, and even being able to go over all of our challenges.
Wow, that sounds so cool. Can you tell us about one thing that the robot does that you've programmed and worked with it to do?
So this one was a very long stretch of code that I did, but it's able to move the arm up along with moving the wrist to like certain positions we wanted at.
Cool. And you can use that for competitions?
Yes, we can.
You just dropped that. I changed the code. I wrote the code. How did you learn how to do that?
I started coding when I was in seventh grade because of my brother, because he's a very active coder. And so this year I took more of an approach with learning Java, the specific language we use. And he helped me understand the reasons why I'm writing certain things.
That's incredible.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Yeah, so you have to learn like the robot language in order to tell it what to do.
Yes.
To give it life.
Yes, we were able to make something move.
You're like a real life Dr. Frankenstein.
I also hear that your robotics work connects to your corporate work study job. Is that correct?
A little bit. Recently, I've been working in a more techie side of a mental health center, WellPower, and here I get to explore like certain sides of like coding and website use that they do.
That's amazing. And is that something that you look forward to doing in the future? Do you want to continue to develop these skills?
I really do. When I enter college, I want to be able to go into computer science. So I think this is a great opportunity for me to be able to learn in the real world.
Well, that's amazing. You're a sophomore. You already have so much experience, and clearly you have a passion that you are engaging and that the school is helping you to engage. I mean, that's such an amazing place to be. So many people don't even know what to do, and they're in their 30s. And you've got a clear vision. So that's great. Really grateful to have you here and joining us.
Superstar coder. Thanks for sharing your talents with us and letting us learn a little bit more about you.
Thank you for having me. It was really a great pleasure.
Before we go, we'd like to express our gratitude to the students, staff, alumni, corporate sponsors, and donors who make Arupe Jesuit such a special place.
And a big thank you to our listeners. You're the reason we do what we do, and we appreciate your support.
If you want to stay connected with us and continue the conversation, be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Arupe Jesuit and on arupejesuit.com.
Don't forget to subscribe. And if you have any questions, suggestions, or want to share your own stories from Arupe Jesuit, please email us at podcast@arupemail.org. We love hearing from our community.
And remember,
read your books,
say your prayers,
take care of your friends.
See you next time on
the Arupe Jesuit Podcast.